turn it to vibrate or turn it off. Our first congregational song is not in your hymn book, but I hope you know it can sing with us. Sing it with us. It's How Great Thou Art, page 16 in the red book. Let's all stand together. We'll sing the first verse and then the chorus the second time. How great thou art.
Oh,
And before the message, Sarah and Bill Spencer will play.
Before we start, I wanted to just let you know this isn't a traditional Mother's Day song, but I think every mother knows what it's like to have trials. You know, every mother knows what it's like to have trials. See your child go through trials. This song that we're about to do compares those trials to the rain in our life. And one thing we know about rain, especially this time of year, we can have an appreciation. We don't like to be out in it. We don't like to experience it directly. But boy, we sure love the growth that comes afterwards. And just like the rain brings growth, so do the trials of our life bring it. So this song is titled Bring the Rain.
Thank you.
is the Lord God Almighty.
Pastor Lane Stockton.
Good morning to all of you. Good to see you here. What a wonderful day it has been in the Lord. What an opportunity we have this morning to praise the Lord and to honor our mothers here at the church. Good to see all of you here. And let me say, if you're visiting with us for the first time this morning, thank you so much for being with us. Very glad that you are here with us. As I'm talking, if I could get all of our kids that are 12 years and younger to come up and give me a hand here in a moment. 12 years and older. Younger. 12 years and younger. Please come give me a hand. Thank you very much for your help. I do appreciate it. But it is Mother's Day, and we're glad that you are here. And we're thankful that you're here to be in church with us. And we want to honor you. Ladies, so if y'all would give me a hand, guys, here, take, all of you come, all, if you're 12 and under, if you want to help, come help. We need your help. What I want you to do is in the cut flowers, if you'll take four, the first trip, four to first trip to every lady that's 18 and over, that'd be a blessing to me. Go ahead and help me with that. Thank you very much. There's a basket over here, too. Take four. If your mother's here, you go ahead and get her four to her, and then come back and make sure every lady in the church, 18 years and older, has at least four. Thank you very much. It is an appropriate thing that the world has done, set forth a day in our calendars that we would mark as Mother's Day. And Father's Day is coming up, but Mother's Day and Father's Day is actually to honor them as a biblical principle. So the world has taken a biblical principle and put it into action. And so I'm glad as a church we get to say thank you very much, mothers, and what a blessing it is to be able to honor you. Make sure every lady 18 years and older gets at least four of those. And then if there's any left, if you have a special lady you'd like to give a couple more to, that'd be a blessing too. There's another basket over here, girls. Over here, a whole basket. Help yourself. There's another basket over here, buddy. A whole load of them over there. Over there, there's another basket full. Here you go, Kim. Make sure we get everybody on all sides now. All sides. All, both sides. There's some more here. We've got to get them. Need some on this side. Over here. Help them ladies out. All right. And all ladies all over the auditorium. Thank you very much. Okay, I think that's about it. All right, if you are a widow today and you are here at our church this morning, if you are a widow, make sure we get them out. Hey, right there, there we go. Ladies, you got to hold your hands up if you didn't get them. These are little kids. They don't used to giving flowers out. It's Chaz, right over there at the end over there. All right. Okay. If you didn't get any, I'm sorry. You've got to hold your hands. These kids don't know if you're 18 or older. They're trying to be modest here, you know. It's like, is she 18? I know she looks like she's 60, but I think she's 18. They're learning young. If you are a widow this morning and you're here with us, would you please stand? If you're a widow this morning, we'd like to honor you. If you're a widow, lady. Now, please stay there standing. I need four strong, strapping young men that will represent me well. So come on up. I need four. I got two coming. I need two more. Well, three coming. Four coming. We're good. Jimmy, I think somebody beat you. You're good. You stay right there. I need you in a minute. All right. Jason, you take one over to Sister Miriam. Y'all listen, I got some instructions for you. Sister Miriam, wait, Jason, you got to listen to instructions. Brother, will you get that one, take to Miss Clatchy up there? Benji, get that one you take over there to Miss Swagner. Jared, Miss Judina, and Jimmy, get this one to Miss Betty. Where are you going? Which way? Miss Swagner. All right, you got to give them a big hug. Kiss them on the forehead. Kiss him on the forehead and say, if Pastor was not already married, he'd be sparking. All right. Give our ladies a hand, please. Now, after church, ladies, on the front pew is a bath bomb. We're not going to pass them out. So if you did not get a flower, matter of fact, if you did not get a flower, raise your hand right now. Oh, praise the Lord. They covered everybody. There's a bath bomb up here of many different scents. Don't ask me what you do with a bath bomb, but they're up here. We used to throw cherry bombs in toilets when I was a teenager, so I don't know what these do. Please, kids, don't follow in pastor's footprints and do that. I'll tell you, it's a slow fade when you start throwing firecrackers. You get yourself in big trouble. All right, let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. But you please come by, ladies, take one of those bath bombs with you and enjoy a Calgon afternoon. And I wondered if half of our ladies, like, did y'all draw straws to see who got stuck at church today? Because we're missing about eight ladies this morning. Are the mother ladies, the mothers holding the place at the restaurant for y'all? Is that what y'all did? Short straw stays at church with preacher. We get to go early to the restaurant. Y'all pray for those that are not here, if they're sick, especially many of them are working today. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 8. 1 Kings, I promise you I'll try to get through this real quick. I know we had a lot of things going on here, but we need to honor our mothers and our ladies. It is a blessed thing to have you ladies. I'll tell you, our church could not operate if it was not for you. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go, do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There's several things that we can look and notice in this passage of Scripture. First, I want you to understand that there is a natural consequence for difficult times and sinful times and for sinful acts and things of that nature. Now, we understand that this is about Jezebel and Ahab being king and queen at this time. And Elijah had, by the word of the Lord, in verse number 1, you'll notice in the latter part of verse 1, chapter 17, There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, the first thing God said to Elijah, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith, and I want you to sit there. Now, there's not going to be rain. There's not going to be dew. We're in a kind of a drought time here in Florida right now. We're waiting for June for the rain to come. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes you wake up in the morning, there's dew all over the place. I mean, there's fog. It's sitting down. There wouldn't even be any dew. It wouldn't be any fog during this time. And so the natural result of that is what's going to happen to a brook? Eventually, it's going to dry up. So the Lord, here you got the man of God, Elijah, and so he's told to go down to the brook after he said what God said to tell everybody. It's not going to rain these years, but until he says for it to rain again. He's down by the brook. Ravens are going to feed him in the morning and the evening. They're going to bring food by. And difficult times doesn't mean that God's forsaken you. Elijah's still being cared for. Still, there's water in the brook. There's food by the ravens. You say, wow, I don't know if I want to eat out of the mouth of a bird. Well, if you get hungry enough, you probably would. It probably would not bother you at all. But, God's still there. God's still in control. But it's a little difficult. It's a little bit, the path is, you're doing what God said. You pronounce what God says. It's not going to be any rain, as it says there in verse number 1 in chapter 17. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and so he did it. The Lord says, go to Cherith, sit there by the brook. Well, eventually, because of the natural result of what God had said and what was going to take place, no rain, no dew, the brook dries up. Verse 8 picks back up, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, you think, okay, man, I'm by the brook, I done ate out of some bread, ate out of the mouth of some ravens, and now, so the word of the Lord's coming. So I'm thinking in the back of Elijah's mind, he's probably thinking, wow, it's probably fixing to get better. The Lord's fixing to say, go tell him it's going to rain. The Lord doesn't do that. Matter of fact, it doesn't get better, but he's still in the will of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You know, for us, we think, well, it's difficult now, so by the time I get to this end of this trial, when God's done, he's going to make it better. Didn't get better. He's sending not only to a widow's house, but he's sending to Zidon, to Zarephath. Well, what's that all about? Well, I want you to look back over in 1 Kings 16 and verse number 31. 1 Kings 16 is verse number 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, this is talking about Ahab, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of what? The Zidons. So now you're by a brook, you're eating out of the mouth of ravens, and God says to you, rise up, go to a widow's house. Not only just to any widow, but go to Zidon, the home region of Jezebel. The one that has been fighting you tooth and nail. It was a common practice for kings back then. It wasn't a godly practice. Let me get this out. It was not a godly practice, but it was a practice of kings back then through marriages to work out deals of trade and peace accords. It was just common. Got him in big trouble. Not only was Jezebel a godless pagan worshiper of pagan gods, she was anti-God. She did not want anything to do with the God of Israel. Matter of fact, you'll notice that as you study the life of Elijah, that he had a meeting on the mount, that he had to face 450 prophets of Baal by himself in the middle of all this. So God says, in a difficult situation, get up, the brook dried, go find this widow, and she's in Zidon. Well, that doesn't sound like God actually knew what he was doing. That's how we think. Why would he send him to Zidon, where it's in the stronghold, in the very community that Jezebel grew up in? Well, look over in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 10. Now, Ahab's been searching. Man, he is mad. He is looking for this prophet. So he's searching all over the place. Verse 10 of chapter 18 says, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. When they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nations that they found thee not. So God hid Elijah in the only place that Ahab would not think to ever even consider looking. I mean, think about it. Jezebel, her hometown, her home region, where her father was the king, surely he ain't one up there. Surely he's not hiding there. But not only did he send him to that region, I'm sure there was many families in this region that probably had some substance to them. I would dare say to you that there was probably some widows in this region that had a little bit to do. Had a little 401k saved off here, a little CD put off over there, had a little bank account there, maybe even had a Visa or a MasterCard of the day. Put it back in there, but I want you to notice here. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Hold your place back in 1 Kings. We're coming right back there. Luke chapter number 4. Jesus actually spoke of this very situation in his earthly ministry. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 25. Luke chapter 4, verse number 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows in Israel in the days of Elias, talking about Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, what great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now just to keep on reading, let's read verse 27. And many lepers in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. So there was many widows, there was many lepers, but God didn't say, I want you to go to one of these widows that her husband had made sure he had Mutual of Omaha. He didn't say, I want you to go to this widow's house who had been a great inheritance left of substance, maybe 400 or 500 acres of land, some servants, some that was still working, maybe a person like Joseph. You remember Joseph as he was taken captive. He became watch care over the house of Potiphar there, and everything under his hand was given to Joseph to do. And Potiphar, he was blessed time and again, until his wife got into the situation and Joseph ended up in jail. So there was many widows. Jesus said there was many widows, but God said to Elijah, I want you to go to this one. Well, we get over there and into this particular widow's house, and she's gathering up two sticks. I'm telling you, things were bad. I mean, real bad. So Elijah, you think, well, Sal, what I want you to see is, dear friend, just because it keeps getting bad doesn't mean you have the will of God. Just because God sends you to a place and asks you to do something, you ought to praise God, because there was many widows that Elijah could have ended up in it. But God chose this particular widow. There's many people in this world. You understand there's about 7 million people in this world. And when God approaches you personally to do something, no matter how hard, how difficult, how that you cannot understand, you can't even fathom, you can't even grasp it. When God approaches you, dear friend, you ought to count your blessings that God came to you. Are you going to understand it? This widow lady didn't understand. She's got a son, got difficulties, but I tell you, this widow had a relationship with her Heavenly Father that went far beyond the difficult moment. It was discouraging to her. It was kind of captivating at the moment that here the man of God would come. Now listen, this was a place that was a little bit outside of Israel. It was in the land of Zidon. It wasn't known, dear friend, for its religious activity for God. It had religion. Many religious activities over there, but it was all about Baal. It was all about pagan idolatry worship. The Bible doesn't tell us if this was an Israelite or a Phoenician lady, but it does tell us where she lived and what she was doing. She was gathering two sticks. She had enough meal. I mean, you can't have much meal left, Brother Ray, if you only need two sticks. I mean, she may have had a tablespoon or two tablespoons. Didn't have much at all, because if all you needed was two sticks to make you fire, dear friend, you were down to your, what's the saying that some of the seniors might say, down to the last button on Joseph's coat? Is that a saying somebody said? Y'all ever heard that? No? I've heard that somewhere. I don't know where it fits into this, but I've heard it. Maybe down to the last thread of coat of many colors. I don't know how it goes, but I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. It was bad. And God didn't send Elijah to a place that he would be cared for with all the comforts of the world. But he was cared for. Why? Because this widow lady had a relationship with God. And she questions it. She says, hold up, I don't have but a little bit of meal, a handful of meal in the barrel, and a little bit of oil in the cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks in verse 12, that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. It was a difficult problem here. This lady, she had, think about it, she was a what kind of lady? A widow. She had already suffered heartache and pain. And it must have been, and to my knowledge and my understanding of Scripture, that this must have been a pretty young son. Because she's gathering bread for him. She's out fixing to get the sticks to feed her son. Normally, I don't know about you, but if I need some firewood, I say, hey, son, go get the firewood. My boys are old enough to get the fire. They're old enough together. Hey, I need some propane, Benji. Go get me some propane. I send my son. But in the picture I'm seeing, either one or two things, he's either hurt or handicapped or sick and ill, or he's a young person that the woman, so she's suffered some heartache. Let me tell you something. Just because you're suffering heartache and difficulty, God's not going to not just, oh, Pat, let me pat you on the back. You're okay. He's going to still want to desire to use you. Because I'm telling you something, when we get so involved in our pain and our hurt, we cannot comprehend that there's other people that's probably got a little bit worse than us. A little bit worse. She could have been self-centered, self engulfed in her problems and her difficulties, and she was there for a moment. I only have a couple of sticks I've got here, and we've got some meal to do this. What does Elijah say? Verse number 13. And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do that thou hast said." That there sounds, well, that's a man of God's got it. Yeah, just do it. Then there's that three-letter word. But before you do what you're going to do, do what God has sent me and told me for you to do. We've got to get to the point, dear friend, that we remind ourselves that our God is much bigger than our problem. We've got to get to the point where the problem that we perceive, and this is a dire situation. No rain because of who? The man of God said not to rain. So she's in this fix partly because the man that approached her, she could have been selfish, dear friend. Do you understand, dear friend, that when David went out to the field there to face the Philistines, everybody around David was concerned about the height and the build. And the meanness of Goliath and the ability to war. That's what everybody else was concerned about. What was David concerned about? That they may know that there's a God in heaven. David was more concerned with how big his God was, and that his big God would take a little stone and put Goliath in his place. Not that David would do it, but that God, through David, would work this. At this moment, this lady's thinking, wow, it's bad. But she had a relationship with her heavenly Father. And it's amazing, dear friend, that as I study throughout the Bible, look through Scripture, that God is always using busy people. What was she doing? Gather. Well, you know, preacher, I don't have but a cup of meal and a little bit of oil and things. What's the use? Why should I gather some sticks? I'm going to die anyway. Well, preacher, I'm only one person. Why should I spend a little bit of time in prayer? Why should I spend a little bit of time, with kindness and generosity? And why should I be kind to others? I'm just only one. Well, that's a good thing this lady didn't take that attitude, did she? Because of her submitting and surrendering to God, because of her relationship with the Father, now it did not cause her not to have any doubt. She had doubt. But she surrendered those doubts and fears and so submitted herself to the will of God, and God brought peace. What does it say in verse 16? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according, not unto the word of Elijah, according to the word of the Lord. So we see the mother, we notice her relationship with the Lord, because she's able to get things in focus and say, well, two sticks, cup of meal, a little oil, the man of God says. You think she didn't hear all throughout the region and the noise abroad that, hey, Elijah is the one that said, it ain't going to rain? You remember the story where the nation of Israel was coming out of captivity, and the spies went into Jericho to spy out the situation in Jericho. They ended up in Rahab the harlot's home, and Rahab the harlot says, "We have heard of all that the God of the nation of Israel does, and all the people are in fear." Isn't it amazing how the word of the Lord spreads? So she's probably aware that this is the same prophet who said it. She's weighing this out, and she allows the peace of God, which passes all understanding, because she has a relationship with God. Well, how do you know that? Because look at the word she used there. Look at verse number... let's see what it says. The word of the Lord came, let me go on. I said the Lord of Israel. As your God liveth. Where is that at in there? Oh, verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." You know what she could have said? If she was a pagan, if she was a false God, she says, "Well, you know, I don't know, Baal may want a portion of this," because isn't it always the same that the false gods desire theirs first? If she was a follower of Baal, a follower of worship of pagan religion, she could have said, "But you know, our religion doesn't say to do it this way." But she declared by his God. She understood. "For this," said verse 14, "for thus saith the Lord God of Israel," Elijah said, "the barrel of meal shall not waste." Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 1:17. So Elijah's talking to her, he's spending time with her, sharing with her, and the Lord God said that the meal would not fail. And she began to trade those fears. Listen, the distress that she must have been under, the heartache, the pain, the difficulties that she was facing, she laid them at the feet of God and said, "God, I don't understand this. I can't comprehend this. I've got two sticks. I got a little meal. I'm a widow. I've got a little bit of oil. I've got a son that when we eat this, I'm going to dress it, fix it. We're going to just end up and die. But here, God, you're asking for more." Why? Because God is more than enough. More than enough. You know what she could have did? Brother Bill, she could have went right in there. Said, "Son, there's a maniac out there. He calls himself a prophet. He wants our little bit of bread, a little bit of oil. Here, we're just going to fix it, and we're going to just eat. And he can do what he wants to. But we're fixing to do what we're going to do." And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, she would have perished in her selfishness. And I'm going to tell you this, we as a church, if we have become selfish and closed in, and everything is about us, and only about us, and everything that we can do here, and not what we can do in our community, in the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, dear friend, we will perish. What verse is that in the Bible? The people perish because they have no vision. We will perish. We'll die within us. Churches around us are becoming more and more... forgive me for saying this because I love our seniors, but they're coming more and more but senior citizen homes and not churches that are vibrant with life. We're to honor the hoardhead. We've got to have wisdom. But as the natural consequences go, no rain, no dew, the water at the brook dried up. All we do is keep getting old, don't add nobody to the bus route, don't win nobody to the Lord, don't bring another family in. Guess what? We just keep getting old. Before long, guess what happens? We dry up. And God has to say to the community outside the door, the community down that way, the community over there, and around the world, God has to say to them, you need to go to a widow's house because their brook is drying up. Because of selfishness. We're to be a spring of living water. A city sit on a hill. But Pastor, how does it do that? Just like the song says, a slow fade. We get comfortable. We get enough. Bills paid, lights paid. Or we get so big, like the church in Jerusalem, till God has to spank us. And we don't do nothing. God has to get Antioch
There was many widows in Israel, many lepers, but God chose this one, that one. What God has chose you to do, friend, you better not become selfish and self-centered. You better get busy and give your all, give your sticks and give your meal so that God can prosper that thing. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So we notice the mother's relationship there with the Heavenly Father. We notice that she had fears, she had real questions, and she had real concerns. She yielded that over to God, and she lived in triumphant faith for Christ. Her faith was about dying. She had faith, because if she didn't have faith, she wouldn't have been in the yard gathering sticks. You remember what the Bible says in the New Testament? Lord, I believe, Brother Ray, but help thou my unbelief. She had faith, but her faith was dying because she started living by sight. She started living by two sticks, a cup of bread, a cup of meal, a little bit of oil, and that's all I got. We're going to dress it. We're going to work. We're going to do what we can. But we're fixing to die. Jesus said, occupy till I come. We got a whole lot of work to do, church. Whole lot of work. We got to be busy. First, she's standing there in fear. Then she gives that dying fear, that dying faith over to God. And Lord knows, before long, the misery that she was in became a great miracle. Can you imagine that every day, Sister Bass, every day she'd go back in the morning, she's going to get some cathead biscuits. And, ooh, there's another cup of flour. Oh, there's 3 more ounces of oil. You say, well, why, preacher? Why do you think it wasn't like 250 pounds of flour and like 5 gallons of oil? Because Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Amen. You know what we want? Well, if it ain't 250 pounds of flour, Brother Jim, if it ain't 5 gallons of oil, God ain't moving. How do you figure that? Because He's going to give us enough to sustain us. We got to get out of this here materialistic mindset that we're in. We got to get out of it. And she hears these comforting words. Listen what it says. What would Elijah say there? Where does it say, fear not? Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. I believe there's a principle in the New Testament that says we're not being given a spirit of what? Fear. Fear. Fear not. How many times did Jesus say to the disciples, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. She heard the promise of the Word of God. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Isn't that amazing right there? God's going to provide, but there's coming a day that provision will stop also. There's coming a day when the oil and the flour that God has provided, didn't God do that for the nation of Israel? Brought them out of the land of Egypt. They complained, didn't have no food. God brought in quail. They still murmured and complained. They died of quail beating their teeth. They complained some more. God brought down manna. They got selfish. They gave it up too much, and didn't do what God said. Enough for the morning, enough for the day by day. And on the Sabbath, gather 2 times up so that you have enough for the Friday and the Saturday. And then on Sunday, you go back. They got selfish, dear friend. They went out there and got a whole big old 5-gallon bucket full, and they woke up with worms and stench and snake and stink in it. That's what the Bible says. You got to read the story. It's there. But eventually the manna dried up too, didn't it? Eventually this is going to stop. We've got to be prepared to continue our walk in faith when the provisions of God stops here or stops there. She obeys. And guess what? God honors her faith. You understand something? Our victory, our faith is our victory. Our crucified Lord and Savior will meet us at the very moment of need if we put faith and trust in Him. Faith and trust in Him. Listen, His grace is sufficient for the needs of this widow mother. And I declare to you that His grace is sufficient for you and I today. Today. Why God give us stories like this? Because some of us right now are facing things that we can't understand. And He wants to show Himself strong. His Word is written for our comfort and our understanding that we may know He is God. But He's just like He showed Himself strong in this lady's life, He wants to show Himself strong in your life. What's the last thing you're holding on to? A little bit this, a little bit that. You're going to get a little bit that, and then that's all you're going to do for the Lord? Or are you going to say, Lord, here's this little bit, here's this little bit. I need a little bit more because little is much when God's in it. And God, You take this little bit and You do great things with it. Didn't I say little? It's a little bitty grain of faith like a little grain of mustard seed shall be able to move mountains. Let's stand our feet. Mothers, thank You for being with us today. Widows, thank You. We're so thankful that all of you are here, but if you were not sure personally that you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord, I would encourage you this morning to come down to the altar and let us take a Bible and show you what God says about eternal life. If you're struggling in an area, I hope these passages of Scriptures encouraged you. If it did, I'd encourage you to come down and say, Lord, thank You. I needed that. I needed that encouragement because, Lord, I was about to just call it quits and die up. I was once a great, now I'm approved. Lord, I need help. Well, I was a great, now I'm a raised, and I'm trying. Lord, I need to be fruitful and multiply. And Lord, I needed this morning.